But I want to bring everything to a conclusion today. And it's interesting, God has a way of bringing things full circle back around. And so as I was thinking about this week, what are we going to talk about? I really want to talk to you about the fact that we are called to persevere. We're living in a society today where perseverance is not taught, preached, we don't have a lot of good examples. In fact, let me tell you something that breaks my heart. I'll see like a family together and they got, you know, a little kid and the kid's doing something and it's a little hard, right? And the kid just throws the stuff down and says, I give up. I'm not going to do this. And the parent says, oh, it's okay, Sally. It's okay, John. You don't have to. It's okay. And then I see it over and over again, that pattern set in that child's life. Do you know what happens to that child when they get a little bit older? When things get tough, you know what they do? I'm done. I'm out of here. And so we live in a society where, even in the school system, everywhere, where the going gets tough, the tough don't get going always. They get going away, you know what I'm saying, rather than pushing towards it. But here's the thing. As believers in Christ, we're not called to do that. We're called to persevere. In fact, picture this. We just celebrated communion together. And we did that because Jesus gave his life on the cross. So go back in time just a little bit before that. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. So he's there and he's praying. Blood, you know, sweat with blood mixed with it is coming down from him because of the strain and the stress of what's going on. And he prays. You know what he prays? Father, if this cup can be taken from me, please let it be. Now, could you imagine God the Father showing up saying, Jesus, you really don't want to do this? No, Dad, I really don't want to. It's okay. You don't have to. None of us would be here today. So what did he do? He endured. He persevered. He went through the most horrible thing you can imagine. Why? To be an example to us. Not just to save us, but to show that, look, at there are times in life, there's going to be challenges, there's going to be difficulties, but you have to push through it. That's what God has called you and I to do. And so it's interesting, the first scripture, 5 weeks ago, I showed you a scripture. It's Hebrews 12, verses 1 and part of verse 2. I want you to have a look at it here again. And we're going to focus on it and look at it from a little different light. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us, what? Run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, or the author and the finisher of our faith. So I want you to see this. In week one, I had underlined, let us run. And then I had next underlined, what? The race marked out for us. And I talked a lot about that, that God has a plan for you and I, and he's marked it out. In other words, before you were ever born, God knew your beginnings. He knew where you're going to be born. He knew the challenges that you would deal with, all the stuff through school. You know, every circumstance he was aware of. And through that, he set out all these mile markers in your life. And the idea was that we stay on those, on that straight and narrow until we get to the finish line, right? The author and the finisher of our life. He's waiting for us. So here's what I want you to see. And God didn't show me this till this very week. Look at this scripture. It says, let us run. So that was week one, right? And the race marked out for us. What's between running and the race? Perseverance. Guess what, folks? If you're going to stay between the lines, it's going to be difficult at times. You're going to want to take that side trail. You're going to want to give up. You're going to want to pull back. But God has called you and I to persevere, to press on through. And I can't promise you a bed of roses, but I can promise you that if you get going and you persevere, that at the finish line, Jesus is going to be there. And he's going to embrace you. Now, here's also something I'm going to tell you. He's not just at the finish line. He's at the starting line. He's all the way in the middle. He's with you every step of the way. In other words, you are not alone in this thing called life, this race that you're in. You are running with your life coach built in. Come on, doesn't get any better. Your life coach lives in you. It doesn't cost you anything. You know that people pay thousands of dollars to have a professional life coach? And you've got the life coach that not only manufactured you, but has a plan for your life built in. Man, we need to call on him more often. Amen. Especially when you start to feel like you're going to give up. How many people have been there? My hands are up. In fact, there were times back in the early days of ministry after we had just moved from Canada. It was hard. When I mean hard, I can tell you all kinds of stories. It was hard. And I remember saying to my wife, I'm this far from just going back home. In other words, just picking up my stuff and go back to Canada, because I knew it was a good life we left. But the thing is, there was something on the inside that said, I need to persevere. I need to press on. And so here we are today. Bless the Lord. Amen. For better or for worse, here we are. All right? But the point is, we made that choice, and you need to make those choices too. Now listen, I could preach a sermon on being, you know, perseverance. I could do that. But you know what I found is that sometimes we need different perspectives. We need to do some things a little bit different, and it keeps our attention. It allows seeds to maybe get planted that we wouldn't normally have. And so we're going to talk to an individual and then some individuals that have gone through some difficult challenges of life and yet have come out the other side. Amen? And so this friend that I'm going to have come up first is someone that many of you know, some of you don't know. But I'm going to ask Liz Clarkson to come up. And for those that know her, you know, can we clap for her? Amen? So as she's coming up, just to give a little bit of background, we support her ministry and have been for about 15-plus years. I've known you for 25-plus years, and it's been an amazing, you know, relationship that we have in that you just love the Lord, and amen. It's been so, so good. But you've got a story to tell, and so for us to really get into it, I think we need to go back in time. How did you come to know Jesus? You know, let's go right back to the very basics of things, because everyone needs to have a Jesus moment. Mm. If you want to finish the race, in fact, if you want to get on the racetrack, you've got to accept Jesus so you can run with
Amen.
Him.
Amen. Amen. So I grew up in a poor family and in an alcoholic family and a family that didn't go to church. But as long as I can remember, I believed in God, and I don't know that obviously was God drawing me to Himself. And when I was seven, I was living in Poughkeepsie on Montgomery Street with my family. And when I was 7 years old, I picked out a church in Poughkeepsie that had really pretty stained glass windows, and I thought, I want to go to church there. So I went to my father and I said to my father, "Is it okay if I go to church and if I take my sister Kathy with me?" And he gave us permission. So there, a seven-year-old and a four-year-old walked across town, and we stepped inside of this church. And what they must have thought, you know, I don't know. But we were able to go there and to learn some songs and to go to Sunday school. And I was very happy with that. And a few months later, my father came to my sister and I, and he said, "We're going to move. And we're going to be, I know a farmer on South Quaker Lane in Hyde Park, and he's asked me to come and help him with his farm." And I thought, well, you know, I won't be able to walk to church anymore, but I'm sure when I get out to our new home that I'll be able to find a church and to walk there. And anyway, South Quaker Lane wasn't as it is today, but there were no churches there, and I just decided, well, I guess I wasn't going to be able to go to church. And a while after we had been on the farm, the farmer, the guy that owned the farm, Frank, he came to my dad and he said, "You know, I go to church. I go to a Baptist church, another Baptist church in Saw Point, and I wondered if it would be okay if I took your girls to Sunday school with me." And so with that, my sister and I went to Sunday school. We got involved and, you know, in all aspects of the church and in Sunday school. And eventually, when I was 14 years old, we had quite a group of young people at church, and the church decided to send the group of us up to Sacandaga Bible Conference, a camp up in the Adirondack Mountains, a Christian camp. And it was there that I received Christ as my Savior. Amen. I went forward, and when I went forward, I also felt like I was giving my life to Christ, not just for salvation, but for service.
Amen. You know, what a wonderful, yeah, amen. You know, this is a side note, but here is, you know, Liz's dad, you know, kind of ripping her from one place that she had felt at home with, taking her to another place. Now, here's the thing. There's people here that you're still blaming some people in your life from way, way back that they did this or didn't do that. Listen, God's still with you wherever you went. You get what I'm saying? And to realize that here the Lord knew and still had a plan. God's still got a plan for you, folks, regardless of what has happened or what somebody else has done or not done. He is still with you, amen? And so I just love that part. And so as you began to grow a little, actually, I think you have to go back a little. You found love, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Anyway, at this church, I actually met my husband. And little did I know, I mean, I'm 7 years old, and I knew him, but we grew up in the church, and, you know, we did choir, we did Sunday school, I got baptized there, and we're going along, and we weren't engaged at this point, but we decided that we would go to college, and so we went to Dutchess Community College, and it was at that point that my husband-to-be decided that he thought that he would go, you know, into ministry. And so we got married between community college, and then we went to the State University of Oswego and finished our college there. But little did we know that he wasn't going to be going into pastoral ministry.
Right. Now, both of you became teachers, that's correct?
Yes, okay. we went to school to be teachers, and we actually, in the end, we both ended up at Dutchess County BOCES.
Awesome.
And teaching there.
Now, during this time, I know that you had, there's some people influenced you in the area of ministry. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, my husband had, his mom and dad had friends, and they ended up becoming, in the 40s, they became missionaries to Malawi, Africa. And when they went to Malawi, one of the things they saw was the need to be teaching scripture and the need to be teaching English. Now we have something called teaching English as a second language, but I think that they invented it.
Right.
I probably not. But so they decided that they would be able to, in some way, and I'm not exactly sure how they did it, but they were printing scriptures in English, and they were teaching them to the children and also to the moms, to the women. They wanted to learn English as well. And they actually, when they printed them, they had no way to put them together to staple them. So the women actually sewed them, you know,
Amazing.
Sewed them together.
Now, for some of the people here, you know, when we use the word tract, they may be like, what is that? You know, is it like a train track? You know, what is a tract? And so you want to explain a little bit about what that is?
Sure. The ministry that we ended up getting involved with, it prints gospel tracts. In other words, they're tracts that talk about the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross of at Calvary, using scripture and possibly even using some practical experiences. But at the end of every track is a salvation message, and then there's also a sample prayer to receive Christ. And then over the years, we also found that we were able to print in 9 African languages, and we were able to print some of the books of the New Testament in the language for the people. For instance, one of the languages that we print in is Chichewa, which is one of the tribal languages of some of the tribes in Zambia and also in Malawi. And we really believe that for the language of Chichewa, that we're the only one that is
awesome.
Doing this. We do print in 9 other African languages as well.
That's awesome. And so, you know, life is going well. You and your husband, you know, you're teaching, so you're making some income. You're having this ministry, printing these tracts, most of which are going overseas, is my understanding. And then something happens.
Right. So we're going along. We have a building project that we're doing. My husband is doing most of the printing. We had 2 printing presses. I was able to run one of them, but not without his help. And so we're printing, and we have this building project going on, and we've taken a loan, you know, for some of the materials that we're doing. And then one day, one morning, my husband started out in the morning teaching at Roosevelt High School, 2 periods for Dutchess County BOCES, and then shop, and then he would come back, and I was also at that point teaching at the center on Saw Point Turnpike. And so we said goodbye, we kissed and said goodbye, And a couple of hours later, I get a call in my classroom asking me to come to the principal's office. And, you know, I kind of kidded with my students saying, oh, I must be in trouble. I've never been called to the principal's office. And I get to the principal's office, and he tells me that my husband had collapsed on his way between Roosevelt High School and between BOCES. He had a lady with him who was a substitute aide for the day, and she had come back to the school to say that he had collapsed, and she had called the ambulance, and that she had performed CPR on him, but he was on his way to St. Francis Hospital, and I needed to go to the hospital. And so one of my teaching assistants took me to the hospital, and when I got there, I was told that he had died. He was 47 years old, wow. Never had been sick a day in his life.
And so, you know, I can't imagine that moment. You know, it appears that God had called you, and you're doing things for the Lord. You're loving one another, serving in your church, doing all the right stuff, so to speak. And then this tragedy happens. How did you feel at that moment?
You know, I couldn't believe that this has happened, and I yelled at God a bit and was pretty upset with him. And it was like, well, you know, why didn't you take, you know, me as well? And I have now all this responsibility. You know, we're in the middle. We're not finished of this building project. And he's doing, you know, most of the printing. And financially, we had lost an income. It was just a real mess. And I just didn't know how to continue. I remember walking behind the building that we had up on a hill, and the leaves have come off the trees, so I could see the building. And I looked at it, and I just said, God, I can't do this. I don't know what we're going to do. I just can't do this. And I felt like God was speaking to me and saying, you're absolutely right. You can't do this, but with me, you know, you can do it. But I was still very, very, very discouraged and not just missing him so much and just not knowing, you know, what to do. So I decided that I didn't want to continue to live, you know, either. So I had a plan, and the plan was to commit suicide, to kill myself. And I said I picked the biggest tree on Route 9 across from the Roosevelt Theater, and I decided I was going to drive my car into that. And so one evening when I was contemplating that, I was crying out. I was just laying on my living room floor crying out to God. And I really felt, I didn't actually hear God's audible voice, but I really felt that he was telling me that I was at a crossroads in my life, kind of like the four corners up here, you know, and I had to decide which direction that I was going to take. I could either trust him, or I could do what I was going to do, and he didn't want me to do that. And obviously, I chose at that moment to trust him. Otherwise, I would have never met Pastor Carl. I wouldn't be sitting here. Now, I can say that, you know, I didn't hear any thunder and lightning. You know, I didn't hear the band play. I didn't hear any of that. I just heard God's still small voice. But I also didn't become a super Christian. You know, okay, well, now God's going to take care of me, so I've got to be, you know, at church every moment. I've got to be praying 24/7. But just over the course of time, when I look back at it, God just continued to be with me and to open doors and to take care of me and to take care of the ministry. At one point when we had this loan for the building, I'm trying to figure out how we're gonna pay it back, because we were paying it back, and we had been just decided that we would just give a little extra money each month into the mortgage. And so when I came to the point where having to pay the mortgage, I found out that we had paid the whole thing, and I didn't even know it except for one payment.
Wow!
And we were mortgage free.
Amen.
And those and other things happened in miraculous
ways.
Awesome.
You know, there's a scripture in James, and he speaks a little bit about this. In James 1, verses 2 to 4, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, mm-hmm. not lacking anything." Mm-hmm. You know, as I read that scripture, I'm sure there was no pure joy at the moment.
No.
Not at all. But that there was purpose in it, that as God has allowed it to happen, mm-hmm. that it brought you to a place of maturity and being complete. It changed you.
Amen.
It changed you. And actually, it wasn't too long after that that probably we met up, and you were involved in the printing ministry, and things were going, and you just kept persevering. And I know it wasn't easy, mm-hmm. but you stuck it out mm-hmm. with the Lord. And so, then that brings us to another milestone in your life. You found love again. And so, Alan, it happened. Amen. Alan, you want to come up? And, just grab a microphone. Amen. Now, I the first service, I thought you guys were married for just 6 or 7 years at this point. How long have you been married?
15 and a half years.
15 and a half years. That shows how, man, time goes by, right? Amen. And so, you know, though you weren't directly involved in a printing ministry, you jumped right in. And did God prepare you in any way for that?
He did. Through my job, I was asked to served on the safety committee, and I was asked to put together a safety calendar. So I learned how to do layout, and I've gotten which fonts to use, how to prepare things. And so while I wasn't actually doing printing at that time, I was preparing things for printing. So God in his ways knew I was going to be doing something with this.
That's awesome. And in the early days, you guys didn't even use a computer for a lot of what you were doing. But in later years, that's how everything is done.
Yeah, that's
amazing. So, you know, I know you don't live here in the area now. You're living in Pennsylvania, yet you commute back from the ministry. But here's the thing. You know, you've come to a place where there's joy. I know both of you well, and you love one another. You're enjoying life. And what would you say to someone sitting here right now that maybe they're where you were back those number of years ago where your first husband passes away and you're contemplating running into a tree? You know, what do you want to say to that person now that's out here, either watching online or sitting here right now?
Well, Alan has he's taught me a lot about the Lord, and I've taught him some things as well, I'm sure, but he has something that he taught me, and he has some, I'll call them Alan sayings, and he has something that I think would help encourage
him. One of the things that I learned when I went through some difficult times is that sometimes the only way out is through. But when you go through it, you're not going through it by yourself. You're going through it with the Lord. You have his word to guide you. You have your brothers and sisters in Christ to come alongside of you. So the only way out is through, but you're not alone. And on the other side, if we go through these trials and temptations, we're going to come out better. This is how we grow. We grow the most through the difficult times. When things are nice, it's fun, it's wonderful. But if we want to grow, it's through the difficult times that we're going to grow.
Amen. It's good. In fact, they're going to put a couple of pictures up. You know, the ministry has continued to grow as you two have worked with it and continued with all the volunteers. Here's a couple of pictures of, in Africa. I'm not sure where. I stole these from online and from your ministry letters that you send out. But you can see here that it's affecting, you know, hundreds of people just in these pictures. I could have shown you thousands of pictures, you know, because the gospel tracts have gone all through Africa, and it's just amazing how effective it's been. Yeah. There's a scripture, you know, we're kind of drawing to a close here, but there's a scripture I think that ties all this together. It's in Hebrews 10, verses 35 and 36. It says this, "Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what he has promised." You know, as I look at that scripture, it's one that's hopeful. In fact, in context, when it says don't throw away your confidence, it's talking about all the trials and tribulations and difficulties of life, and then it says don't throw away your confidence, for you have need of endurance. Wherever you are in your life right now, the Lord is there, and he wants to help you, as Alan said, through whatever you're going through and come out the other side. Why? So that you will receive what he has promised.
Amen. Amen.
God
Amen.
Is so, so faithful. So we're going to do something a little bit different here in a moment. And so let's begin. We're all just going to stand up. We can all handle this. We didn't lose anybody at the first service, so we can do this, all right? So I'm going to ask right now, just is there anyone here? And all I'm wanting you to do is to respond by putting your hand up. That you're maybe in a place where Liz found herself, where a close in, maybe a husband or a wife or a close individual has passed away in their lives, in your life. And man, you're in that place. You're broken right now. You're just in a place of devastation. And if that's you, just put your hand up. Just put your hand up. All right, keep your hand up, please, if that's you. And there's others here that maybe you're devastated in another way, maybe a broken relationship or financial hardship, some other thing that has happened, but you know you need to persevere through it. So put your hand up as well. Okay, keep those hands up. So here's what we're going to do. Those people who didn't put up your hands, look to those people who are putting their hands up. Walk over to them right now, all right? So I want every person who has their hand up, I want some people around them with hands on. We're going to pray right now in a few moments. We'll let you get to each person. There's a hand up. I want every person who has a hand up to have at least one person with them, all right? Make sure. So put your hand up high. If someone hasn't come near you, put your hand up high so that people can see you and come and be able to pray for you, all right? All right, so Father, you see the hands raised. Okay, you can put your hand down now since people are surrounding you so your hand doesn't go numb on you. Father, you see all these individuals that put their hand up, and we're gathered around them right now praying and interceding on their behalf. Lord, you know exactly what they need. You know exactly where they are. Some are literally contemplating suicide, thinking that it might be better just to check out rather than to check in with you. Lord God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would just open up their hearts and their lives, that they could see that you've got a plan through this. And that they will go through it and come out the other side, and they will finish the race well, even though they might not feel it at this moment. Lord, we pray for those dealing with financial issues and relationship issues and job issues, that, Lord God, they just feel pretty low, pretty broken hearted at this moment. Lord, I pray right now that you would just hold them up, that they would be sustained through this and be able to come out the other side, that as they call upon your name, that you will be there for them. You are faithful. You're not just there at the start of the race and at the end, but you're with us through all things. So, Lord, we just call upon you right now to minister through those hands that are being laid on. Lord God, minister to these individuals that they would be encouraged in their walk with you and not give up, but persevere and endure and be patient and to walk with you, knowing that you are a good God and a faithful God and a loving God.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for every person here that's here physically and those that have watched. I pray right now in Jesus' name that they would be encouraged to persevere in whatever you set before them so that they may receive the promise you have for them. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you this morning.